We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider, our weekly podcast at CUBuffs.com. Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs. Mark Johnson, test number one. That would be an A-plus for your Buffaloes. 45-13, they win the Rocky Mountain Showdown, blowing out Colorado State in dominating fashion. And now they play a team that wears red to the east. I think you've heard of them before, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And so the hype machine is cranking up this week. This is a fun time for Colorado football right now. You blow out the Rams, Nebraska's on the horizon. It is nothing but a smile for everybody in Buff Nation right now.
Yeah, I think it's been a great week just leading up to the Nebraska game. A lot of memories, a lot of people talking about the old rivalry. Got Coach Mack in on early in the week to talk Nebraska. And I tell you what, nobody talks Nebraska better than Bill McCartney. Had half the media room ready to go out and put a helmet on. And so it was a lot of fun. And I like this game a lot. I think this when this schedule first came out, it worried me a little bit. But, you know, I like the way this schedule's set up.
You know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Bill McCartney could read the ingredients to tomato soup, and I'd want to beat Nebraska. You know, it's the way he delivers. It's the verbiage. It's the passion behind it. And here Mac is, you know, the emeritus coach for the University of Colorado, the greatest coach the Buffs have ever had. When he speaks, it just sounds, no matter what he's talking about, it sounds like we got to go beat Nebraska.
Oh, he was lecturing the media on what their job was in the whole thing, and I was laughing at that because I've heard that before. I've heard that speech before about how
he was talking about you most of the time.
This is your job to go out there and sell this game and get people fired up, and that's just Mac, and it was great to see him. Still one of my favorite guys. Had a great conversation with him after the press conference, and still try and keep in touch with him a lot, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you never leave talking with Coach Bill McCartney without feeling inspired in some form or fashion. Let's glance back. It's our first time we've had the insider since the Rocky Mountain Showdown. You and I both stood out there every day, all fall camp for 30 days, watching those guys, thinking we saw a better football team. And I still believe this is a very good football team, but I think in hindsight, looking at that game, Neil, I think there were aspects of this team. Now, there's things to work on. There's certainly some liabilities they've got to address. I think this offense is better than I thought it was going to be.
You know, and that's the thing that struck me as I was driving home after that game Friday night. This is an offense that you and I saw all through camp, and we thought, man, there's a lot of talent out there. They've got a lot of weapons. They can do a lot of different things. We saw the different formations, and you and I had to shut up and never mention that we saw Laviska Shenault lining up at H-back and 13 different positions back there. But I thought this team has a chance to be pretty good offensively. Watching it in action, this team has a chance to be pretty good offensively. They were better than even I thought they would be.
Yeah, certainly a dynamic. And with what we saw in that ballgame, Stephen Montez talked about the press conference yesterday. They barely scratched the surface of the playbook at this point in time. And so I think the vastness of how dynamic this thing can be is probably going to be unfolding here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more, a lot of different stuff at Nebraska, because Nebraska is going to play this game differently. CSU stayed in that two deep zone for a lot of that game, and they refused to let Colorado go up top. They only went up top once, a 46-yard touchdown to Katie Nixon, by the way. But they did not want to get beat by that. But in order to do that, they had to give up that short game, which Colorado was more than happy to play all night long. So I think Nebraska is going to challenge them a little bit more in that regard. But it'll be very interesting to see how Colorado, you know, attacks that defense.
You know, and coming out of that game, the DeSoto boys are all anybody's talking about, rightly so. Laviska Shenault is going to be a star. Katie Nixon is going to be a star. Jay McIntyre is Mr. Steady Eddie out there. You know, the Rams are rolling a safety over on Juwan Winfrey. And, oh, by the way, just wait. Now that everyone's seen all the weapons, you're not going to be able to double-team Juwan. Get ready for him to have a breakout at some point here early.
Yeah, I think Juwan is a guy that sooner or later he's going to be a guy that is going to have a big game, just because they're going to start covering number two. They're going to start covering number three, maybe dropping a double on them, doing some different things there. They're not going to let number two run wild like he did the other night. They're going to have to, you know, address that. So I think that opens up the game for Juwan a little bit. And I think Colorado's going to have to throw the ball downfield a little more in this game. They were very content with that short game the other night because CSU kept giving it to them. I don't think that'll be the case Saturday.
Well, and the other thing about this, you think of the traditional idea of the run game setting up the pass game. This team is kind of the opposite of that, isn't it? I mean, the pass game, because they're so dynamic out there, you have to respect everything when it's spread out, which is going to allow guys like Trayvon McMillan, who had a great debut with over 100 yards and a long touchdown, and Kyle Evans to go out and have good games. And it takes some pressure off that offensive line a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And that short passing game, number one, takes pressure because you don't have to set up that pocket and keep it for 3, 4, 5 seconds. You know, the short passing game allows Steven to get the ball out quick, and the offensive line isn't under as much pressure. But the second thing that does is all the motion they're doing, you know, when they're running Laviska in motion, KD in motion, Jay in motion, Juwan in motion. It's moving linebackers back and forth. It's moving D-line, D-ends. They're having to shift and make sure they've got their assignments covered. That opens it up for the offensive line, and that opens it up for that crease in the middle where you saw Trayvon McMillan first carry as a Buff, 15 yards. That's pretty nice.
Let's talk about the question that I've been asked 100 times, and I know you have since that ballgame as well. Is what we saw on Friday does it say the Buffs are that good or Colorado State is that bad? Let's put it that way.
I'd say it's about 50-50. Let me just be Switzerland right here, walk the middle of the road. Yeah, I think Colorado has the chance to have a very good offense. I think you saw things like Laviska Shenault's speed. I mean, he outran Colorado State's defensive backs for 89 yards. I think you saw Katie Nixon's speed, and you can't coach that. That's something that Colorado was much better at. They're much faster this year. I think Colorado State's also, you know, that's a team in disarray, especially on defense, new defensive coordinator. They certainly didn't seem to be in sync on defense. They were a lot of calls being made as Colorado was snapping the ball. I saw their linebackers pointing and their defensive line looking around. Their heads were on a swivel. So I think it's a little bit of both, but I do think this Colorado offense certainly has the potential to be better than last year.
I will say this, and it is the great old Bill Parcells line that you are what your record says you are, your numbers say you are. And Coach Barnett always says you got to get 5 games deep to have a true indication of what you are. By 5 games, Gary's always said that, okay, now I know what you are, because after 5 games, you've got a large enough sample size. And so I know it's early. And so I say this with a caveat. Did you see that Hawaii went out and put up almost 600 yards of offense and 51 points last week again? So they did the 43 points and 550 or 600 yards, whatever it was, against the Rams the week before. So, early on, we're trying to read the tea leaves here a little bit. Maybe it is that Hawaii's offense is pretty good and the Buffs' offense is that good. And, you know, I'm kind of splitting hairs here a little bit, but CSU's defense has got some work to do, but maybe it's the fact they've seen two pretty dynamic offenses here early on.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think Colorado's offense, I guarantee you that Nebraska defensive coordinators are sitting in there today and they're looking at this film and going, that's a lot of weapons to stop. And they're trying to come up with a lot of different ways to make sure that Colorado doesn't get guys in space. And that's the thing that is probably the biggest difference between this team this year and a team a year ago. Those guys in space, KD, LaVisca, Juwan Winfrey, Trayvon McMillan, when they get in space, they make you miss.
And I'll say this too. I think what we've seen, and look at the co-coordinators, what Adam Clayton, Darren Cheverini, and don't discount the impact that Kurt Roper's had offensively on this team with his great resume that he's brought in here. They've done a good job of saying, we've got that athlete and this athlete and that athlete, and we're going to work real hard in not fitting them into a system, but fitting the system to them.
And that's to me, that's always been the mark of a great coaching staff. And I think you see too many coaches over the years that have tried to shoehorn, you know, great athletes into their system. And we're not going to change, you're going to fit our system. And I think they've taken their system, they've tweaked it, they've massaged it, done a lot of different things. And I think the offense, again, and a caveat, one game, Saturday is going to show a lot more about how good this offense can or can't be. But, yeah, I think the potential is there. The question for me, Mark, I get to ask you a question. How about the defense? How good are they?
Well, I was just going to maybe throw that at you as well. Here's what I think we saw. We came into this season thinking there was depth in that defensive front. I think we saw the impact of that depth. I think Mustafa Johnson was outstanding the other night. Other guys were up there making plays. Terrence Lang made some plays. We're hoping to see that. Israel Antoine, during the broadcast, I don't remember calling his name. He was out there enough and obviously being semi-effective. So I think the Buffs are better up front. I think, well, Nate Landman's a star, for goodness sakes. And Neil is the president of the Nate Landman Fan Club, by the way, being named the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week. And I'll say this. Wait, listen, we knew what Nick Fisher and Evan Worthington are. Worthington is one of the most, you know, dynamic players defensively in the Pac-12. These corners, which we did not know what they were when the lights were coming on, Slim, Delrick Abrams, Chris Miller, Trey Udofia, Dante Wigley, on down the line, those guys look again like Mike McIntyre knows how to identify and to coach defensive backs, because maybe they're not named guys like Isaiah and Cheeto and Akello and those guys were in recent years, but they look to be kind of in that same mold as those guys. And so after one game, facing guys like Terrence Williams, who I think is an NFL guy, or Olabisi Johnson, it looks like the Buffs have some very good secondary players again.
Yeah, they're not named guys yet. Yeah. I'll say that. I think Delrick Abrams, you know, 6'2", 6'3", kid's got a wingspan of about 18 feet. I mean, that kid's got
I think you're exaggerating a little bit.
That kid's got a tremendous wingspan, and he closes fast. He gets to the ball in a hurry. He knows how to play the ball. He's coming in from JUCO, and I just think he's going to get better as the year goes on. I really like Delrick, the way he plays the game. I think Trey Udofia is really solid there. Dante Wigley is a guy that's learning to play the ball much better. Dante's never had trouble in coverage. It's finishing that play and getting up and knocking the ball down. I think he's much better this year already in that regard. Chris Miller a little bit dinged up, but I think you're going to see a lot from Chris Miller before it's over. So, yeah, that core is good. I like that secondary. Like you said, the back end, Worthington and Fisher are good, and I love these linebackers. I tell you what, Rick Gamboa, Drew Lewis.
Say his name.
What was that guy?
Go ahead, say Nate Landman.
Oh, yeah, number 53, Landman. Yeah, number 53 is pretty good. Carson Wells had a really nice start. He's a big, tough outside linebacker that likes to hit people. And so Jacob Callier got some pressure on. Numoto Falo got in there. So they've got a really nice core of linebackers there that can do a lot of different things. And so I think overall this defense, great test coming up Saturday, Scott Frost's offense.
Well, in fact, let's pivot and start talking about the Nebraska Cornhuskers. When I say Colorado-Nebraska, you've covered this thing forever. Okay, that was a nice way of saying you're very old. what comes to mind? I said to somebody at practice earlier in the week, they said something about Nebraska week, and I said, it just feels like everything's right with the world because the Buffs and the Huskers are playing again.
It does, you know, and I grew up in Colorado, and that's, you know, as long as I could remember, Colorado-Nebraska was a big game. That was a game that Colorado always pointed to. Bill McCartney came here, and much to the chagrin of everybody, including a lot of people in Boulder who thought he was, you know, crazy, because he said Nebraska's going to be our rival, and this was a program hadn't beaten Nebraska in 20 years or 19 years. So, but it's a great week, and it just feels like it's like old times. That being said, it's two teams from two different conferences. It's a big game for the Buffaloes. It's a chance to kind of get their name back on the national stage. Nebraska is not a national title contender. Neither is Colorado right now, but it's a chance for Colorado to go out and get a Power 5 win in Lincoln, and kind of get their name back out there as, hey, Colorado's still here.
I think it's one of those, and I've described it this way, because of where Nebraska is, and there's all sorts of anticipation, excitement around Scott Frost coming back. But it is a win if the Buffs can go out there tomorrow and get a win. It's a win that looks better than it actually is. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Oh, yeah, it is, because Nebraska's not a top 25 team. Nebraska's not a top 25 team. Nobody in Nebraska is saying it should be this year. But it is Nebraska. It is the coach of the year from last year, Scott Frost, undefeated UCF team, Golden Knights, 13-0. They beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl. So, you know, guy comes in with a great resume. He's a legend in Nebraska. All eyes are on Scott Frost in Nebraska. You get that win, and yes, that's a feather in Colorado's cap.
Don't you think it just unfolded perfectly? There's something that feels very right about the fact that Nebraska's game got canceled last week, and this becomes the debut for Scott Frost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, remembering Scott Frost's debut against Akron, they beat those Zips. Well, they didn't get to play the Zips.
Hey, now, wait a second. Akron was in the MAC title game last year. Give them some respect.
I'm just saying that, you know, Scott Frost's debut against Colorado, against a team that has been a program that was, you know, Nebraska's rival for the last 20 years before they both left the Big 12. It's a great way to start that era.
Yeah, without question. There are some similarities when you look at these two teams in terms of youth, what they do offensively a little bit, what they do defensively. It really kind of is a mirror kind of game.
Yeah, it is. UCF last year ran that motion offense, ran a lot of different looks, guys moving back and forth, doing a lot of different things, and they're expecting the same thing from Nebraska. I think they've got a very dynamic young quarterback, a true freshman, Adrian Martinez, who can run and throw. If there's any difference in the offenses, it's probably that Nebraska is going to run a little bit more read option. They like to run the ball, and very understandable. That quarterback, Scott Frost, was a pretty good runner when he was back at Nebraska, and he also did that at Oregon. People forget that this was a guy that was the O coordinator up at Oregon, was there when Marcus Mariota was there. So he likes his quarterback to be able to do a lot of different things.
What's your, and everyone that has been around this program for a while has been asked this question this week, what's Neil Welk's favorite Nebraska moment against Colorado?
Oh, wow. There's covering a lot of great Nebraska games. I would go back to the 1986 team. Bill McCartney's team had started off slow. They were 0-4, won a couple of Big 8 games, and hadn't beaten Nebraska in 19 years. Nebraska came in, Colorado beats them 20-10, and that was the game that was signature moment, if you will, for the Bill McCartney turnaround. That was sent a signal that the Buffs are ready to be a force. And so that one, that first win, is one that I'll still remember.
Well, he walked into the press conference on Tuesday, Bill McCartney did, as kind of a special guest. And one of the first things he said was, "I'd rather be dead than red." That kind of set the tone for the entire week. By the way, our broadcast from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Coach Gary Barnett, Bobby Pesavento, great quarterback for the Buffaloes, and yours truly gets underway at 11:30 Mountain Time on the Colorado Football Network. And then, oh, it's fun to say, the Buffs and the Huskers will kick it off at 1:30 from Lincoln. For Neil Welk, CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. It's a good week. It's Nebraska week. A lot of fun for the Colorado Buffaloes. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.